Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
This year on Open House, we had a chance to sit down and spend some time with Paul Stevens, former Cronulla Sharks NRL chaplain and before that professional NRL player. He was part of the so-called God Squad of that team at a certain time. A certain generation of NRL footy fans will remember him with great fondness. Here's just a little recap of part of that conversation.
The Christian DVD just really hit me. Initially, I scoffed, you know. Particularly said, hey, you know, you can say a prayer to invite Christ into your life. I started laughing. I said, who says a prayer with a DVD? By the end of it, here's this big tough footballer, right? Mate, this big tough footballer, I started having water fall down from my eyes. And at the end, I said, oh God, I don't want to do it my way anymore. I started praying this prayer.
Paul Stevens' ministry is now with Lifehouse Church in Sydney's southwest. And when Paul dropped by for that conversation in Open House, he came with his sister, Angie. And it was only after we finished that chat that Angie started to share a little of her life growing up as a girl in a house full of rugby league legends. But there's much more to Angie's story than just being crash tackled in the backyard. Angela Stevens is a successful lawyer and for a time a prosecutor, and is now launching a new phase of her life. More on that in a few moments' time. Angie, welcome to Open House. Having met your brothers now, life must have been pretty chaotic there in the Stevens household.
Definitely, they're lovable lads, but yeah, chaos is pretty accurate word to describe what happened. And looking back on our family, it's a story of pretty much tragedy, if I can be real about it, from our childhood. There's four kids, there's two girls and two boys, and I was seven, my sister was nine. She was hit by a car and we were crossing the road, and unfortunately this lady accelerated instead of braking, and so my sister was hit by the car and left brain damaged and, of course, disabled. So from that just rocked our world. And at the same time, my father left, and he left for good because he had been leaving on and off before that. Mum found herself rearing four children on her own, one of those heavily disabled. So quite a sad sort of upbringing. And to be fair, not many of us really had a childhood. And so I went from being a young sister to being someone who was a carer for my sister, and I still am today, and she's the most amazing woman ever. But, you know, that obviously changes the dynamics of your childhood, going from just robbing a bit of your innocence of being a child to being now in a carer role and being someone who has responsibilities and someone who understands about life at the age of seven. It's a pretty harsh sort of reality to be faced with.
And then to be left behind by your dad.
That was probably, it's been probably the most impacting thing. I know, obviously, completely horrible to have, you know, an accident and tragedy in the family, but the relationship between a daughter and a father is so, so vital and just impacts your life so much now that I've come to realise. So my dad leaving us at that time where we really needed him, it was such abandonment. And that was my perspective right up until my 30s was, wow, we didn't hear from my dad. So there was no contact at all. And it was very much, he left us on our own to fight. So it was the Stevens clan versus the world sort of thing, minus a dad.
So with that backdrop in mind, your brothers find success on the sporting field and start to form their identity around those successes. How were you finding your value?
A lot what came out of the accident was fear. And so I was very afraid of living, really, afraid for my sister and afraid for myself. So I didn't really regard myself and my value. And it was only until I actually came into an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus that I realized I have value. I have a life, and as well as being a carer, there's a lot more to Angie Stevens than just taking care of my sister.
Yeah.
So it was many years later that I was able to really come into the realization that, hey, this is going to turn out okay. I'm okay, and it's going to turn out. But there was many years where I pretty much dedicated myself to my studies, and that was one area that I could throw myself into, and I could see a win. I could have results, and I thought I did well at studying. So I was sporty as well, but not obviously at the level of my brothers. So I took to the books, and it paid off for me because I ended up with a double degree.
Yeah, you excelled, didn't you?
I did. I was happy with the results.
Yeah,
I did pretty well.
What was the role of faith in your life, if any, at this point?
Well, we'd always grown up with a level of faith because my mum's such a devout churchgoer. So we would go to Mass every weekend, and I saw my mum really reach deep into God and her relationship with God, with obviously all the stuff that was going on around our family. And so I'd always had an awareness of God. But as I started to, you know, grow up and go to uni, you know, I'm a massive fan of dancing. So I used to go nightclubbing a lot. And when I say I'm a massive fan, interpret that as me on the stage by myself, doing my own moves, no one else supporting me. But I was quite happy with that picture right there.
I think that's more wild cavorting than dancing, though, isn't it, really?
I was dancing to my own tune. You call it what you like, Wayne. But I started going clubbing, and every time I'd go clubbing, I would come back and I'd be so empty at the end of it. And I was like 3 or 4 nights a week clubbing whilst I was at uni. So doing 2 degrees, that was my outlet, going dancing. But I started to realise that it was empty. And what I thought I was missing was a man, was a boyfriend, because I hadn't had a boyfriend ever. Thankfully, that's changed, although I still am single at the moment. Just putting it out there, listeners. But what I realised was that I was searching for things and I didn't find it. And thankfully, at that time, my brothers had come to know Christ in a real way. Yeah. And at the same time, I was at uni and I met these lovely Anglican girls who spoke to me about having a real relationship with Jesus. And that's when I watched this really corny American video, actually, that my brother had given me, who I don't even know how I prayed after that video because it was that hilarious. But it really touched a chord because it spoke about a relationship with the Father. And, I mean, up until that time, I hadn't even said the word dad. Dad was not in my vocabulary because my dad left 20 years ago. Yeah. So to have an opportunity to have a relationship with a father who actually loved you, because I had such negative connotations with the word father. And I think most people do. I remember last year I was at work and this guy was having issues, and I wanted to pray for him. And I offered, look, you know, obviously he knew I was a Christian because I'm quite bold about my stance. And I said to him, can I pray for you? And he said, why do I want that? I said, because God's a loving father. And as soon as I said the word father, he flipped out. Well, then that was it. He didn't want anything to do. And I thought the word father has so much emotion attached to it. And so, yeah, I realized, and to be honest, it was only until I reconciled with my father that I realized I could have a real relationship with Father God, and that was the most fulfilling thing that I've ever experienced and still am experiencing.
Angie, listening to you now, I'm struck by how your life could so easily have taken a very different path. Today, you're the poster girl, for the want of a better term, if you don't mind me saying so, for saving yourself for marriage. But things could have been very different as you struggled with your inner demons and insecurities at university, contributed in no small part by the loss of your own dad at a very early age in life.
You are so articulate, Dwayne. You've hit it on the nail, because I often look back and I say, thank you, God, for your grace that completely saved me, because I was so insecure without even knowing it. I was searching for a man to fulfill me, and that was through my just low self-esteem. And you wouldn't know it, because on the outside, I'm quite an extrovert, quite a bubbly person. You know, being up there on the stage dancing, you wouldn't think this girl's got issues with insecurity. But I thank God that he protected me, because I just thought it was of the norm to give yourself to a man before marriage, because I didn't know any better. And thankfully, now that I came to know Christ at the age of 19, God saved me from just giving myself to men in order to feel fulfilled and to feel loved. And I honestly thank God, because it's such a high priority, but I'm still celibate by choice, listeners, by choice. So it's something definitely that I know. I thank God by his grace that he saved me.
About Dad, you reconnect with him more than 20 years after he left. How did that happen?
Well, the first occasion and the most memorable for me was when he turned up to my office in the city. As you mentioned, I'm a lawyer, and so I was working in quite a big firm in the city, and reception called me and said, you've got a visitor. And so I hadn't seen my dad since, you know, I was 8 years old since the accident. And so I walked out to reception, and he was there with a lady who I then found out was his wife. And I said, yes, can I help you? Because I didn't know who he was. And then I looked at his eyes and I just went into complete shock. And I said, wow, you're actually my dad. And so I said to him, okay, let's do this. So I brought him into the reception, into one of the office rooms, and I cross-examined him about the childhood. And I was not emotionally involved. It was like I was in court because I was a litigator, and yeah. I was just firing questions at him. And I didn't get many answers that satisfied me, so I asked him to leave after about an hour, and I didn't want to see him again. And I have a real strong sense of justice. I think that's why I became a lawyer. Also, being a fiery redhead, I know you can't see less listeners, but I am this incredibly attractive redhead, and I'm also quite fiery. So being a bit of a fiery redhead, I asked my dad all these questions as to why he left, what was his basis for leaving, where was he wasn't around. And it was such a bad meeting. And after that, I thought, that's it, I'm done. And so I spent a good decade actually getting inner healing, getting prayer counseling, and discussing what it means to have had a father who left and didn't actually show any regard for me.
You do reconnect with Dad a few years later after much family support and some counselling. You came at it from a very different perspective though, didn't you?
And thankfully, it was God who had prepared me for this, because I went there with a completely different attitude and perspective, and I went there quite humble. Because God had been teaching me that even though my dad had done all these pretty awful things, he was my dad. And as my father, I needed to honour him for giving me life and for being my father. So I also thought, this is a great chance to show him who I am. He doesn't know who I am. I'm this woman of faith. I am someone who holds God as first place in my life. And I want to share the love of God with this man, because he just didn't know Christ at all. And so it was wonderful that I went there and, you know, he wanted to talk a lot about the past, and I wanted to focus a lot about the future. And I said, the best thing I could do was just say, Dad, you know what? I don't hold anything against you anymore. I think there's a real sense of release when you forgive. For me, when I forgave and I let go of my rights, again, being a lawyer and wanting to uphold the right of my, this is my right. No, I just let that all go. And I said, Dad, you don't owe me anything. And I'd want you to know, actually, God's told me to come and reconcile with you. And I want to show you love. And that was crucial, because then, you know, months later, he had a stroke and was paralyzed, and for the next 8 years couldn't speak. So I've never had a relationship with my dad. However, we all visited him on a regular basis, like a couple of times a month for those 8 years, and had a pretty sensational ending when we got to pray for him. And, you know, I love God. He's got such a sense of humor. I know this is probably not theologically correct, but I reckon my dad had a stroke and God used it, because he couldn't argue with us then when we came to pray for him. He had no faculties to say, no, back off. He just could stay there, and all he could do was nod. And so we got to pray for him over those years of just showing love to him and lead him into relationship with the Lord.
Returning to your career in the law for a moment, Angie, you're not doing it today. Why?
Law was never my passion. I have to say, I took it up for the reasons because I had a strong sense of justice. And not to dissuade any potential lawyers, but I was a little bit dissatisfied with that notion of justice. I worked for big companies and sort of saw that the almighty dollar ruled, and whoever had sort of the biggest
bucks.
Got a
better class of justice.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. You know, that's obviously a sweeping generalisation, but I didn't find the soul satisfaction in my job. And I went from being a litigator to a prosecutor, because I thought, okay, this is the higher sort of calling. I'll go and I'll do that, because I've always liked a bit of performance. But to be fair, I knew it wasn't suited to my personality when I'd go and cry in the toilets after I'd prosecute someone. So, yeah, not quite the person who can be, you know, the confrontational, combative environment that is conducive to being a lawyer. So after 15 years, I decided to make a change. And believe me, that's a long time coming, that change, because, you know, being in a profession for that long, you reach a certain level, and you reach a certain level of comfort as well as a certain level of income. So pretty big decision.
You enroll in NIDA. In itself, no mean feat. You're accepted. You study the arts, and you're faced there, perhaps in ways that you weren't expecting entirely, a bunch of challenges, including the roles that you should take and the kind of characters that you want to play. Why do you do this to yourself?
I never settle for the path of least resistance. That's just who I am. I tell you, I love a challenge. And I love the fact that as I started to get healed and started to have a relationship with Father God, I started to know who I am. And who I am actually is someone who's really creative. There's many facets that make up Angie Stevens. I love sport, but I love being creative as well. And an expression of my creativity is to present on camera in a lifestyle environment, lifestyle entertainment forum. So I, as you said, I auditioned and I got into NIDA, and it's so funny. I love how God does this. You know, I suffered from a lot of rejection when I was young, and I'm trying to get into television presenting, which is known as the rejection industry. So I love that God says, you know what, I'm going to use what you had and make you fearless and brave and just, you know, flip this on its head. And I love how God takes the foolish things and makes them wise. So things that could have hurt me, like rejection, I'm facing it and I'm saying, you know what, I know now that I've got a gift and I've got a calling, and I think I'm pretty good too, without sounding, you know, proud.
I'll say it. You are. You're very good.
I think I've got a gift from God, but I'm also learning, Duane, that it's nothing to do with me. It's all about God and His calling on my life.
You put God at the center of everything you do. You live for every opportunity to share why He's there. What's your dream?
My dream is to be an absolutely shining light of a presenter, or in whatever capacity in the media that God has me, and showing people that God's real, and He's real, and He loves you so much. And you can have a real relationship with a loving God. He's alive. He was resurrected, and He wants to be intimately involved with you. And to also be a testimony to the fact that you can not start out great, but boy, can you finish well. And I think, I really just want to see that, you know, sort of, I want to break out and see that God rewards me for going through what I went through, and that He's a good God. And, you know, there's a scripture that says God's good to those who expect Him to be good to them. So I've got really high expectations, Lord. I know You're going to come through. I know He's listening.
Angie Stevens, it's been a pleasure. Thanks so much for opening up your heart on Open House with us.
It's been an absolute thrill. Thank you, Duane.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.